Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is from Jeremiah 23. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you, filling you with vain hopes. They speak visions of their own minds. How long shall there be lies in the heart of the prophets who prophesy lies and who prophesy the deceit of their own heart, who think to make my people forget my name by their dreams that they tell one another, even as their fathers forgot my name for Baal. This is the text. Last week, I couldn't help but begin a discussion on the religion of humanism as we send our children off to be educated, especially those who are going off to college this week or in the near future, or perhaps some schools have already started. We need to equip them to defend themselves. They will be challenged by many self-proclaimed experts on science and history, except many of them have a religious agenda. These are the modern-day false prophets. The religion of humanism confesses the creeds of atheism and agnosticism. And as I said last week, the chief sacrament of that religion is macroevolution. And anyone who does not drink from that cup will be ridiculed, ostracized, and pressured into joining their confession of faith. When I was a pastor at Pena, one of my members went to Illinois State. And she endured persecution from a professor and outright hatred from her fellow classmates that rivaled the pressure of the Spanish Inquisition. It was frightening, the story she told. And I was very proud of her that she remained grounded in the faith of her baptism. Just like in the days of Jeremiah, there are those who claim to have knowledge that only belongs to God. And they have dreamed up theories that they call knowledge. And since they have this knowledge, they can impart it to you. And there is no need for you to anymore call upon the name of the Lord. They will tell you only need to listen to them. And through their twisted adaptation of the otherwise very useful and beneficial fields of science and philosophy and history, they will tell you they have all the answers, or at least they have good enough answers that you really don't need God in the equation anymore. That's for those, simple-minded folk like you and me. That's exactly what the prophets of Baal told the children of Israel. But as I told you last week, even the most ardent supporters of the theory of the Big Bang, their greatest supporters, some of the great writers that are renowned, have said it had a 1 in 1 quintillionth chance of actually working, and not either collapsing back in on itself or scattering out in such a way that you couldn't have the clumping together of, stars and solar systems and such. If you remember what I had said, that would mean that their theory, well, it's 30 times more likely that you would win the Powerball jackpot 2 times in a row than for this ridiculous dreamed up theory of the beginning of the universe would work. And these odds are even without taking into account that the material of the universe first had to spawn out of nothing. These are dreams that they speak to one another, just as Jeremiah had prophesied. We live in a religiously fanatical world, and it is one that is working very hard to make you forget the name of God. This is why we confess the Nicene Creed each week. This is why Luther encouraged everyone to begin and end each day by making the sign of the cross and saying, "In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit," to remind us of our baptism, and then speak the Apostles' Creed, the confession of our baptismal faith. Each day, call upon the name of the Lord. The world outside of these walls wants you to forget the name of God. But how could you forget the name God? Well, you forget when you use that name outside of prayer and praise. Because using that name, as it gets used so often outside of rightful prayer and praise of His holy name, this blasphemy of God's name, the using of it in vain, is treating His name as cheap and common. As the old saying goes, familiarity breeds contempt. And if we are comfortable using God's name in a cheap and common way, we truly have forgotten who He is. When hearing the Word of God and receiving the gifts offered, when this is something that we do, oh, you know, occasionally, or when I have time, or enough to keep up appearances, or because I have to, then you have forgotten what this truly is. This is the place where the Word of God is spoken to you as He has handed it down from generation to generation. This is the body and blood of the Son of God, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. If we forget that, then we have forgotten His name. Call upon the name of the Lord. Confess your faith. I believe in one God. I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. That's our goal. Even within Christian circles, there are those who say, well, you know, real Christians, we focus on deeds, not creeds. Well, I'm a big fan of deeds. I'm a really big fan of deeds. But call upon the name of the Lord and confess your faith in words that the church has used so that people know who you are. Because this is how the church has spoken for generations. Do not forget His name. Satan wants you to forget, or at least diminish His name. Oh, you don't need to confess those creeds. It doesn't matter if you use His name in any conversation, however. He wants you to make it cheap and common. This is how He undermines your faith. And Satan has never allowed the people of God to find rest in this world. We find our rest in Christ, and Christ alone, in the message of the gospel, and the promise of the resurrection of the dead, and the life of the world to come that we boldly confess each and every week. We are a people of faith. As we heard in our epistle reading, the righteous, the saints, God's people, live by faith. Just like in last week's reading, also from Hebrews chapter 11, it is by faith we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God. I don't have any more empirical evidence to offer. I don't have any better evidence than the religious fanatics who say that the Big Bang started it all. even though it had an only 1 in 1 quintillionth chance of working. But we know it did. I don't have any better evidence. I can't show you anything in my hand. But the reality is that everyone who has pondered life has done so by faith. And if you want proof that humanists are religious fanatics and not simply the stoic scientists in search of the truth and willing to acknowledge the truth wherever we may find that truth, if you want proof that they're religious fanatics, observe their reaction when you point out the obvious inconsistencies in their dreamed up theories. They tend to get angry. They show that they are emotionally attached to their beliefs, and ironically, they will curse you with the name of God, even though they do not believe God exists. In the academic world, there are unfortunately many who have chosen to preach and teach a religion very differently than that of Scripture. And there are even those who will punish the students who do not give up or at least publicly confess that they no longer hold to the belief as the Bible presents it. The best man in my wedding endured this. He was going to school. It was either Montana or Montana State. I can't remember which one it was. But he failed the same class 2 times from the same professor because he refused to give the professor the answers that the professor demanded because they were contrary to the Word of God. I mean, think Spanish Inquisition. Now, if you don't know about the Spanish Inquisition, just briefly here, it started right in the 15th century. It was the means by which the Roman Catholic Church could arrest and put on trial anyone who was not adhering to their teachings, and about 3,000 to 5,000 people were convicted and executed. Some people estimate the number higher, but the reality is that almost all of them were burned at the stake. It was Pope Leo X's desire to bring Martin Luther before the Inquisition and put him on trial for his teachings. And thankfully, Frederick of Saxony protected him because the Inquisition did not give fair trials. It gave death sentences. Well, the way in which those who practice the religion of humanism and demand an atheist evolutionist confession of faith within society and within schools in particular, the way they are abusing their position within the scientific community is the same way that the Spanish Inquisition abused its position within the church. It is necessary to warn, especially our youth, and prepare them for the attacks on God's name from those who are abusing their position within the good institution that is the academic world. Just like the true church was not the problem in the Middle Ages, education and schools are not the problem today. Abuse of power within those institutions by those who want to promote the religion of humanism, this is the problem. However, how can we expect those who are outside of Christ's church to honor God's name when so many within Christ's church treat his name as being cheap and common? How can we expect those outside of the church to honor and revere the Word of God and the body and blood of Christ when those inside the church forget what it is that is actually being heard and received? You are hearing the voice of the living God spoken in his word. You are invited to participate in a miracle as Christ himself comes to you under the form of bread and wine. There is nothing cheap or common about his name, his word, or the gifts that he gives you. Never forget who God is and what he has done for you. And call upon the name of the Lord. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.